Okay. So, hats, dads, and hats, daughters, and hats, sons. My name is John Biederbach. Welcome to the Hats Chat podcast. We're here today with Joe English. Joe, how did you get started in hats?
Well, so I missed with my oldest. Don't know how. We just missed with my second, my daughter. We were at, doing our YMCA. Mm-hmm. Last year, saw Kip and gang, at Sky Ranch, and it looked cool. And so there you go, man. It was just, it was kind of in the same vein. And so that recruiting effort there kind of pulled us in. And then with my son, we got even more involved. With my daughter, it was tricky because she played travel soccer. And so there were conflicts. But then with Robbie, we made the conscious decision this was going to be more important. And he didn't play travel ball. He played everything ball. And so it was rec league. And so it was easy for us to make those decisions. But just, wish I'd have had a chance to do it with all three. Didn't get that. But it's really been impactful for our independent relationships and our family relationship as a whole.
And I had this conversation with Kip. I think he was kind of frustrated at one point because we were typically losing kids, like maybe after the eighth grade, because of exactly what you say, just travel ball or band or something like that. And I said, Kip, here's the deal. There are families that are soccer families. There are families that are band families or whatever. We need to find and probably grow people that are, families that are hats families. And I think we have a good mix of those now. When I first got in the program in 2008, it was probably the norm to go to Colorado and then that's it. Like you bust it out. And now with Leadership Academy and all of the different Camp Director Academy, it's very common, I think, now to see kids, continuing the program into high school and some even into college. We have college kids that come back and mentor with their dads and direct with their dads. So,
been on a couple. In fact, Robbie's trying to figure out a schedule where, he can come do a camp out with me, even though he's off at college.
So, I don't know if he's a fan of the winter camp out, but I know they try and schedule the winter camp out to be more friendly to college students.
Sure. Yeah. We actually did winter as participants and mentors for years. We've missed a few here and there because of ski trips, because as a family, we go skiing. Oh, well, so that, happens to fall on a week we've booked a ski trip.
Yeah.
But other than that, winter's always been a great camp out.
Great. Awesome. We're here today to talk about the ninth grade backpacking camp out. And this is one of my favorite campouts. I think there's something really liberating about packing up everything you need and heading out on the trail. And I've seen people drag all sorts of things out on the trail. Do you have any examples of crazy things you've seen people bring?
Well, okay. So I definitely have some thoughts on that. Yes. Actually a stove. And we're not talking about
like a full-on Coleman.
Like a full-on stove. Yeah, and I'm like, holy, that actually fit in there.
Yeah.
So, little surprise. I will say this, especially with Robbie, I totally get it with the girls, but, when the boys are huddling up, there's always this conversation around the bathroom, the toilet.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, no, we're not bringing that.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot. You have to, strap it on the back. And I have seen people not bring smaller ultralight chairs, but, an actual real chair.
I've seen that as well. Yeah. Scott Robinson the first time I saw it was Scott Robinson and he and his daughter. And it wasn't even the modern folding chair.
It was old school
aluminum frame, like a canvas strap
bungeed onto the back.
I've
seen that.
And I have to tell you, I was a little jealous, to
They're
see them
chairs.
I'm sitting on a log or sitting on a sitting on one of those crazy creeks.
Yeah.
And to see them just sit there, legs folded. I thought it's only 3.5 miles.
You could do that. So listen, I've been one of those where we actually bring the stadium chairs for Brazos canoeing because we've done that quite a bit.
Yeah.
That makes a huge difference, by the way, but it's a little bit of a pain. It's just extra stuff.
Yeah. That kind of metal frame.
Yeah. They're heavy.
Yeah.
But sometimes comfort outweighs the weight of the pack.
Probably one of the best ones I saw was I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I smell these eggs cooking. And one of these guys brought not only 6 real eggs, but a cast iron skillet.
Oh, heavy.
And I thought you were hardcore, my friend.
Yeah, that's definitely more than I'm putting in my backpack.
Yeah.
So.
Hats, dads, and daughters, and hats, dads, and sons. One of the things we do with these podcasts is we take a break and give you some questions to talk about in the car. And so as you're driving up this morning, or as you're listening to this, I want you to just pause the podcast and have a little discussion between the two of you, and then come right back. And the first question is, one of the subtexts of this campout is unpacking your emotional backpack. And thinking about everything we bring with us, Joe and I have just talked about things that we've seen people bring. My question for you is, what are you bringing on this campout that maybe you should leave in the parking lot? Is there stress from work? Is there stress from school that you can just leave behind you this weekend to fully invest in your time together? So take a minute to okay, Joe, by this time, these Hats campers are seasoned veterans. Many have completed WLA or they're getting ready to go to Colorado. How does that change the feeling of the camp out compared to maybe sixth grade canoe?
Okay, so thinking about that and having done this particular camp quite a few times, you know, I go all the way back to the very first time I did it. And for me personally, and the discussion as a team we were having was, this is our prep for Colorado, right? Because it's sort of the closest thing you're thinking about. And quite frankly, the first time you go to Colorado, you don't know what to expect other than some of the chit chat you've heard. And so we really thought of it as, you know, hey, this is our, you know, this is game day, right? We got to get ready. And there's an element of truth to that. And then I hearken it to the Brazos canoe that, you know, we just kind of mentioned a little bit, where that's a float camp, a little bit different, but you got to take everything. You don't have the vehicle anymore. So you can't leave something and go back, right? And say, oh, I forgot some stuff. You got to put everything you need in there. You don't have the benefit of water to help carry the load and a canoe to actually spread some of your stuff out. It's all got to fit in your pack.
Yeah.
And you got to carry it on your back. So prepping through that, I thought was really important. You know, you've already learned quite a few skills, you know, through fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh grade. You've done some really cool stuff that you're going to be able to leverage. But this is, hey, I got Colorado coming up and this is my test for myself.
Yeah.
And then coming out of it, you'll feel like, hey, you have a, kind of a precedent for what is that going to look like, and then how do I prepare myself even further? And that was largely the approach we took that first time, and I think I've witnessed that multiple times since going with other groups.
Well, Hats campers and Hats dads, I want you to think back now, you're in the ninth grade. I want you to think back on some of your Hats history. What was your favorite camp out? What was your favorite dinner that you had along the way? And spend a few minutes in the car just talking about your history and things that have meant a lot to you over the time. And then what do you look forward to? You know, Colorado, obviously, but are there other things on your Hats agenda that you're looking forward to? Maybe that's Wilderness Leadership Academy or Camp Director Academy. So take a minute and talk about that. Joe, as we work through the Hats curriculum, you know, we've got fourth grade new member, which is about growing relationships. We've got fifth grade, which is about adventure. We've got sixth grade, which is about communication. Now we have the ninth grade campouts, which are about leadership. You put that all together, you get growing relationships, communication, and leadership through adventure with our dads. What lessons do you want to see the campers take away from this campout?
So that's an insightful question. I think this is very different from many of the other campouts in that there's a higher level of independence because you've got your pack. And if you thought about it, you should be able to survive with just that, right? But like life, there's more to it than, well, just what you have going on. So I think all of our campers, dad and kid, ought to be thinking about not just do you have all your stuff ready and are you independently going to be successful, but what does that communication look like? So thinking of the mission, what does that communication look like on a backpacking trail? Especially the listening part, kind of the forgotten part of communication is listening. We all think about speaking or writing, but your listening skills are super important here. And not just amongst your team, right, as a father-child, but amongst the other teams, because there's a level of kind of dependence that happens on a backpack and out in the, you know, when you don't have these other things like cars and you're not right on the road or something of that nature. So there's always more to it. We have this little saying, right? The thing is not the thing, but you've got to kind of think about that and be prepared for how are you going to be able to communicate with others and get to where you want to go.
All right, hats campers, hats dads, I want you to think about this weekend. What are some things that you're excited about? And then maybe also talk about what are some things you're apprehensive about? And maybe pregame a little bit, talk about that and see, are there strategies that you can put in place or communication keywords that you can put in place to help ease the tension a little bit?
On that vein, if you thought about, you're super involved with safety, you're super involved with you know, teaching our first aid historically. So you taught me first aid. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
So you know, it's different on this camp, right?
It is.
Speak to that.
It is for sure. You know, the interesting thing about this camp is it feels remote, but it really isn't that remote. And this is one of the things we talk about on the Wilderness First Aid campout is, you know, if you had somebody that was injured on this campout, how would you get them out? And I think the first inclination that occurs to everybody is we walked in, we're going to have to walk this person out. But the reality is there's a gigantic superhighway that you're right next to, and that's the lake. Mm-hmm. So there are fire departments that have boats on the lake. The Coast Guard's got a boat on the lake. You know, both Texas and Oklahoma have state patrols on the lake. And so there's a lot of resources that you can get right up to your front door just by using your cell phone. You know, you call 911, even at 3 o'clock in the morning, they can still get a boat out there to you. Yeah. And the other thing that people don't realize is that there's a road right behind. Now it is uphill, but probably about 100, 200 yards behind that 3 mile or that 5 mile camp, there are houses there. Sometimes you can see them depending on the time of the year and what the foliage is, but there's a road that runs right back up there. So we put a lot of thought into this, but the other thing we did too was by arming, and now that this is the ninth grade, you should have at a minimum, your directors and mentors should have gone through Wilderness First Aid, but probably a lot of the campers as well will have gone through Wilderness First Aid. And so we've really tried to think through, in fact, you know, what's funny is when we got the AEDs, I didn't have the vision that people would actually bring those on, say, for instance, the backpack or maybe even the canoe, but they do, they pull them out of the hard case and they pack them in there. And so, I think that's great. You know, if there was something, heaven forbid, that happened, we are probably better prepared than certainly we were before, and we're better prepared than a lot of groups out there. Any other camp memories?
Many hats campouts, one of the things that always makes them super memorable is weather.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a reality. And any of us who have camped at Whitney for one reason or another have experienced it, because I don't know that there's ever been a camp at Whitney that didn't experience weather. It's just the nature of it. But I had a particular memory with the directing the boys a few years back, and it was raining for days. So we knew it was going to be rough, and it was raining as we were getting our packs ready on Saturday morning. And so the pep talk was just that flexibility.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, so we are going to be light on program and heavy on survival for this particular adventure. And the reality is we wanted to set a tone. We knew it was going to be a bit of a slog, and it was. And we absolutely had a blast just because we could joke about it the whole time. But yes, people got wet.
Yeah.
And it's just what's going to happen.
Well, Joe, I appreciate you coming out today. I promised it was going to be painless, and hopefully it has been fairly painless. But thanks for talking about the ninth grade backpacking trip. And just remember, hats, campers, dads and daughters, dads and sons, miracles don't always happen overnight. Sometimes they take a whole weekend.